Welcome in, time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Hey, welcome in, time for a daily editorial. I've got to address a couple of other things first. One of them is out of the box, Jerry, who has been a very, very valuable contributor on our site since about the turn of the century. Boy, that sounds like it's been forever. I have gotten to know about his family. I've gotten to know him as a friend, etc., etc. For the life of me, I cannot figure out why he cannot comment on our site. I'm going to look into that even more this afternoon. I really like the guy. He and I have been communicating via email, and what's interesting is neither one of us have any anger towards each other. He can't figure out why he can't comment, and I can't figure out why he can't comment, but we'll get to the bottom of it. He is really a good guy. Jerry Daniel Boone. Anyhow, having said that, talking with Jim McKinney right now, Jim and I are talking a little bit about what's going on in this impeachment thing. Jim, let's get your comments first, bud.
Yeah, the impeachment farce, the second impeachment farce, which really is taking away all precedent, the constitutionality, all of that, and throwing it up in the air, is being manipulated. And what is so disturbing to me is that if the Democrats had such a strong case, why would they be manipulating media? Why would they be actually using terminology from, say, Jonathan Turley from 21 years ago to justify their position in implying that it's his recent review of if they could impeach someone that's already left office? These are weird, awkward moments for the Democratic Party, but I'll tell you, they are using the media very effectively in order to divert everyone's attention from what's happening in the executive office and what's not happening in Congress. They're not taking care of the people's issues. And that's a little bit frustrating right now, and I'm hoping other people are beginning to wake up.
Well, I don't know. You know, I was looking at one of the websites this morning, and they claim that hundreds of thousands, well over 100,000 Republicans have now left the party officially, and they break it down by state. Boy, I don't know any Republicans who would even consider leaving the party at this point. Do you?
Well, I know that there are people that are frustrated with the Republican Party because their failure to support the president. And the other piece of it is their failure to take back, you know, some control or to have the guts to stand up against what the Democrats are doing. So there is frustration. I don't think it's from the moderates. I mean, there's a handful of the Romneys and the Liz Cheneys and Ben Sasses that are, you know, really trying to bring back the old elitist country club Republican effort that, you know, takes money from corporations and pretends to want to cut taxes.
Right.
But doesn't do anything about it. There's some of those people, but I really think what's happening is people that are on the other extreme that say, you know, we're just done with the party failing to do what needs to be done to get this country back. That's where, and I know a lot of people are unwilling to provide any more money to the Republican Party because they're not willing to stand up and support either the president or, and it's really, and this is what I just keep harping on, it has very little to do with the individual, Donald J. Trump. That is the image that was perpetuated by the Democrats, is permeated our media in order to create a hate, to say that's a Hitler, that's a Stalin, that's a Tojo or Pol Pot. And they've done it effectively. But the issues that are at the base of what Trump was trying to fight for, Americans are not going to stop fighting for them. Trump gone or not, they don't want more governance in their controlling their lives. They don't want transgender education in kindergarten. They don't want to have more taxes and less control. They don't want, Americans do not want the Second Amendment to go away. And in spite of what Americans want, this administration right now, the Biden administration, in my view, the fraudulent Biden administration, is continuing to put these agendas that are not consistent with America and what most Americans want. They're very progressive. And I think not standing up is creating a lot of animosity in some Republicans, some conservative minds that the party's just failing. And that's there's some frustration there. And we do have to unify and get strong. We can't splinter. You can't get a third party and think you're going to be successful against a very organized and coordinated progressive left.
So, no, I have to say, I have said this on the blog numerous times, Jimmy, and that is the left is very well organized and very well funded, you know, and I commend them for that. The only thing I hate to see is I really hate to see the animosity right now that exists in our society. You know, I tried kind of doing what I thought was a smart thing, and that was to say, you know, no comments from Big Al until at least the end of September. Let's see how they do. Let's give them a chance. My liberal friends still are very, very angry at me. And to me, my statement made all the sense in the world. And their reaction to my statement is something I just really don't understand.
Yeah. Well, I think the left right now is people have to be wondering, you know, this is they were always complaining about Trump being a fascist and an authoritarian. But here's Biden, who just continually on a daily basis puts more executive orders out without legislative support, that continues to push an agenda not through the people or through the people's house, but through his own ideology. And you've got to wonder what the left is thinking as we continue to silence other opinions and views, when a lot of them back in the day thought that that was the most important way to get their point across was free speech.
Well, so, you know, Irish Tony made an interesting point yesterday. He said, Big Al, what do you think about what's going on now in Syria compared to what was going on in Syria when Trump was in office? I believe what he was implying was that Biden is attempting to take a little harder stand on terrorists in Syria than Trump was. But I'm not sure how that's even possible. I mean, with all the agreements in the Middle East that Trump got together, I don't know. What do you think about Syria and the way that Biden's apparently handling it? He's certainly not going back and apologizing whatsoever to the Iranians. What's going on in Syria?
Well, so he put a few more troops back into Syria immediately after taking office. And that's partly, there was a very failed Obama-era policy that he was a part of, that Biden was a part of. And it was basically, let's go ahead and splinter Syria and push out Bashar Assad, the president there. Mm-hmm. And basically, they funded a lot of different groups. Some of those groups were connected to extreme terrorists and anti-U.S. rhetoric. And they resourced them. They gave them weapons. They gave them training.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, my guess is that a lot of the people that are now in this administration on the foreign policy side are going back to those same policies, the same policies that got us into Libya, into a war that destroyed what was becoming an ally in the war on terror. You know, Muammar Gaddafi was never a good guy, but he was actually working on our side.
Yeah.
It created complete catastrophe in Egypt, a complete catastrophe across the entire North African continent, and destroyed, you know, a lot of stability and got literally tens of thousands of people killed and allowed the rise of ISIS. Now, those same people are back in charge. You know, Lloyd Austin, Secretary of Defense, he was the CENTCOM commander from 2013 to 2016. CENTCOM was responsible for ISIS. And the JV team in 2012, 2013 took over two countries the size of Texas with billions of dollars of revenues monthly, with building schools, hospitals, and then decapitating hundreds, thousands of people, and attacking Christians and non-supportive ideologues.
Yeah.
Well, that's Lloyd Austin, the Secretary of Defense. Total failure. Total failure. And now he's the Secretary of Defense. It's embarrassing to me.
Yeah. Well, the only comment I can make is I have to say, you know, I'm a bit of a Bible scholar, and I have to say, you could not have a better example in this day and age of what's going on. You couldn't have a better example of the reality perhaps, of the end times that are described in the New Testament. I don't want to get into that, though, where politics is bad enough. I'm just somewhat concerned, that's all. How about you, Irish? Are you concerned? Jimmy, thanks so much. Anything else you want to say? But
no, I think let's just see what happens to this farce and circus that's going on, and hopefully we can get beyond it and people can wake up, realize what's happening in America, and try to get their country back.
Well, yes, I agree 1,000%. If anything happens, ladies and gentlemen, between now and about 9 o'clock in the morning, we will be back to you.